Do you think your business has a strong brand? And no, I'm not just talking about your logo and colors here. I'm talking about everything, including your core values, functional and emotional benefits, market segmentation, tone of voice, style, and team culture. Oh yeah, and the logo and colors as well, of course. So yeah, there are just a few elements that go into your business brand. Today on the Marketing Me podcast, I'm chatting with Lucy Wang about the brand building process. There's a lot to think about here, and I recommend having your notepad and pen ready. Without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I help business owners just like you overcome their fear of failure and find the courage within to step up, show up, and make an impact on the world, while also living a lucrative life and reaching their full potential. And I do this through strategic marketing advice and engaging conversational copywriting at Right Time Marketing. So feel free to book in a free 30-minute discovery call with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Lucy Wang. Welcome, Lucy.
Thanks, Leanne.
So Lucy is a brand design entrepreneur, I can say that word now, and design lecturer at Western Sydney University. She was a finalist of the WSABE Outstanding Young Entrepreneur Award under 30 in 2018, and her business Experimentum, sounds like a Harry Potter thing, was a national finalist of Optus My Business Award in 2017. In 2020, Lucy established Brand Consulting Group, where the company expands its initiative across brand consulting, brand education, and art tech. So Lucy and I connected after she tuned into one of my recent webinars, which is pretty cool. And look, while I do know the basics of branding due to my marketing experience and background, I thought it would be great to get Lucy on the show to talk about it in greater depth. So, Lucy, could you please share a little bit more about your business journey and those awards? That's awesome. Congrats.
Thanks so much, Leanne. As a designer background, it's always good to have the expertise on the line along with a little bit of entrepreneurial skill set. So I started the Experimentum around 2013, actually under a government grant. So through that journey itself, it was quite challenging, but at the same time, quite rewarding. As you can see, there was a few awards that we've sort of, I mean, finalist awards. We haven't really received the major award, but it was good to get the finalists into these two major categories. So one of them is obviously the My Business Awards, which is a nationally recognized award, and also WSABE, which is actually Western Sydney Awards for Business Excellence. And I'm sure you've heard of that, those who are based in Western Sydney businesses. So during that process, we've got clients across both Sydney, Melbourne, as well as in Rotterdam, and we worked across different aspects of branding, and also that involves, you know, you've got your brand identity, which you've got logo types, logo marks, along with the aspects of web design, which follows on with it. So within web design, we do deep dive into looking at the client's needs within their brand UX and UI and so on. So that's a couple of things which we actually did in Experimentum. So quite interesting. Moving on from Experimentum is this year, not just because of the COVID, but also is a transitioning within our entire, entire earth because of that pandemic itself. And there was a huge shift, and I felt the need to transition a bit towards the consulting aspect. So looking at more strategic aspects of how to bring value to clients through brand consulting, as well as educating the clients through education, and also looking to some initiatives in art technology, such as AR and VR. So these will definitely be some things on the lines for me within the next few years.
And AR, VR, VR is virtual reality.
Yeah, that's and correct.
Is artificial reality?
Augmented reality. Yeah.
Okay, so, what does that mean?
So augmented reality is obviously when you are holding a mobile device or some aspects of whether, you know, that's accessible to an AR platform, which is a software or app. And when you point towards a particular image or a particular object, there will be animated effects that comes with it. So this is something that I would like to look into. Yeah.
Wow, very high tech. That's very interesting. And like what drew you towards this line of work?
Yeah, so I think coming from a really creative background itself, the interest has always been there. And also looking at the way that technology is evolving as well. I mean, the new introduction of the Apple, there's the eyeglasses. I'm not sure if you've heard of that one. That's literally coming up quite soon, but I'm pretty sure they're releasing this year or late this year. And it's definitely about augmented reality. So I got a feeling within the trend of the foresight of the future, we'd definitely be including augmented reality in most aspects of our lives, whether that's through glasses or just mobile devices. It could be artistic project. It could be even for wellness, you know, it could be for anything really.
So what does that mean? Like you put the glasses on and then you can like see blueprints or you can kind of see something come to life.
That's that correct. Thing. Yeah. So the glasses will, you know, pick up. It could be a semantic, it could be a symbol, or it could just be the image itself that's being recorded, like recognized within the application. And then when the glasses are placed on, you can actually see the virtual space or augmented space presented in front of your glasses and in front of your eyes.
Oh, that's very cool. Oh, I love it. I love like technology stuff and futuristic stuff and going, wow, like, and just to think in 10 years' time, 5 years' time, you know, what would be out there and using like regularly just blows my mind.
Yeah, that's right.
That's very, very cool. All right, so with like branding, so what is it? What is branding and why is it important in business?
Yeah, I think people tend often to think of branding as just purely maybe designing a logo or looking at a business card, but in fact, it's actually more about it. There's actually a history of branding. Now, if we look at like deep diving into the history of what branding actually is back in the days when the farmers were actually like placing marks on the cows to define that this is their cow.
Yes, you brand the cow. Yes.
Yeah, you actually brand the cow. So that was the beginning stage of what a marking is. So technically branding is about placing your mark within a particular item or object or a thing that you own, which is your asset. And that allows the audience to know that who owns that particular object or asset or whatnot. So that was the ancient days, but slowly as it slowly evolved, it became a bit more complex. So looking at the brand, you first have to define what it is. And defining the brand, obviously we are looking at the client's core values. So what do they want to have as a, you know, as a company, you know, or the promise that they will deliver to their clients. So what do they want the clients to feel like when they actually are receiving the products or receiving the service? And also there are different drivers of that particular brand, whether they're driving towards, there's some brands that, you know, you can see they might look at cost differentiation. So if we look at business, you know, the different propositions of business, or there are brands who want to specifically target luxury clients. So obviously, you know, the way that they drive the brand will be completely different. One, probably not even using that much ink in the process of packaging, but compared to the other one, they might be using a lot of foil or a lot of, more luxurious look and feel to the brand itself. So the drivers itself is the reasons or the goals behind what the brand want to achieve, and the values is where it sets its visions and purpose and so on.
And
then we look at, you know, the brand obviously needs to be positioned within the market properly. And like I mentioned, you know, if you're looking at two different audiences, cost differentiation or luxury, the target audience is completely different. So the market segmentation will be completely different. And there's actually a lot of brand definition or research that goes into that. And it's not just, you know, hoping for the best, you know, if someone walks along the street and grab you and then that, you know, buy my things. But technically, that's not how it works. Is when you position yourself correctly, you will be attracting the right audience and the audience will come to you. But before that, obviously, you need to know the audience a lot better. So that's where the research goes in. Following that is obviously you've got to express it. You've got your name. So you need to pick up a nice name, picking up logos that looks great, and also personas, voice, or the different look and feels of your story.
Yeah, there's so many elements involved. Like it's like, yeah, I think branding, when I started my business, I'm like, I need a logo. That's my branding, right? Yeah. And then you're like, okay, well, the colors my brand. So then the colors should be on my website. There's my brand. But the feel of it. And like you were saying, like the luxury, you know, that's obviously certain cars you associate with luxury and you'll pay that money, even though the features could be exactly the same as a car, $30,000 less, but it's all about how that person feels being assigned with that particular brand. Like I know, for example, my in-laws were looking at Audis, I was looking at Mazda. The Mazda sometimes had a lot more, but they wanted the Audi, you know. So it's very interesting. And then you also think of things like Red Bull, you know, it gives you wings. It's the feeling around it, and Virgin Active as well, like the vibe of that. There are some brand examples that spring to mind that have a good energy around them. I mean, pardon the pun with Red Bull being an energy drink, but it's more than just the name. It's the sensation. It's how you, the connotations, it's everything.
Exactly. And it is definitely an overall experience that you're experiencing the brand itself. Definitely beyond just the logo type.
Yes, experience. Yeah. That's so, yeah. And I talk about that with, you know, with your business as with your personal branding, because how you come across and you're representing the brand and the customer service you offer, and that's all part of the service, the experience. And yeah, I love it. Okay, could you please talk us through, because there's a lot of elements there, the process that you take behind creating a brand identity strategy?
Yeah, so we were talking about the first three parts, which is define the brand and then position the brand, express the brand. So I guess if we're looking at a bit more, that will, the number four part is actually to build awareness of the brand. So the communication aspect is so important. Whether that's the brand itself or the client itself is finding communication through person to person, or whether that's through social media or whether that's through websites, they need to be reached within and then without. It sounds funny, but it is a bit about within and without, because number one is defining yourself within the organization, whether that brand awareness is being sort of communicated well within all tiers of the hierarchy of the organization. And I think who does it better? I guess Apple does the best. The way that they've actually communicated of their brand within the organization, but also without the outside of the organization. And outside of the organization is obviously, you know, you're looking at promotional materials or marketing and so on. But that's about building awareness. But the most important part after that is actually measurement. So we can't really have a good brand without actually understanding and measure the brand's progress within the market. So the value and the equity needs to be taken account, and also the performance. So that could be measured through, obviously, data, right? And data includes the ways such as what you actually, you know, really skilled in SEO, or we can look at different survey statistics, or even going through deep diving into different aspects of further research that goes into how the brand is being projected within the audience. Sometimes companies do surveying just to get an idea of how the brand is working, especially customer feedbacks or satisfaction feedbacks of how a navigation on a website is working. Most people don't like to, you know, press or click onto this, surveys, because they, you know, they're like, oh, it's a bit of a waste of time. It actually does help a lot with the behind the scenes work for an organization on how to improve and measure their brand a bit better.
Yeah, I if, like, I mean, those surveys, it's usually if it's a bit of a prize, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do it. Or sometimes though, you start it and then you're like, oh, this is going to take too long, and then you get out. But, yeah, it's true, that feedback. And, look, I do know some startups, and I've given them feedback on how their platform works, and I've offered tips of, look, like, to me, honestly, this isn't instinctive enough. You know, I compare it to things like Canva, where it's very instinctive. I can just I work out, you know, where I need to go. But then there's other platforms where I'm like, what am I meant to do here? What does that mean? And then sometimes if you're too close to the project, you can't quite, yeah, you don't see that it could be an issue for different personalities and random, you know, random people. But yeah, so with the, so you've got, yeah, you've defined it and you've positioned yourself, you're expressing yourself, you're building awareness and then measure it. Yeah. Is there anything else? Is that the end of the?
Yeah, that's usually the end of it. But in the
process, it's ongoing, isn't it?
Well, it's actually a cyclic thing. So you don't just sort of stop there, and you need to renew your brand probably every 3 years, I would suggest, or even like quicker if you're a startup, because I've observed a lot of my startup clients that they actually renew their brand very quickly, usually about like maybe like 6 months, a year. Because the way that they're projecting into the world becomes a little bit different, because they are a startup, they need to position themselves well, but at the same time is they're sort of in that kind of a moment which fluctuating. They're not sure who they are yet, you know, trying to find out who's receiving the products well or so on. So there's a lot of shifting there. But like I said, the process is 5 steps, but, you know, there's always a cyclic nature that goes onto it. Again and again, and every year, do have a look at your positioning, do have a look at your statistics and see how you're going, yeah, and improve through that way.
Yep. Awesome. All right, so just to reiterate, so define, what does define mean? It's define who you are, who your target audience is that right?
Yeah, so your core values, yep. So what kind of products or service that you actually offer, you know, what are the, you know, trend opportunities out there and who your competition, so it's a bit of like a
SWOT. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, your drivers could be, whether are you a functional brand or your emotional brand or economical. So what kind of benefits do you bring to the audience? Yeah. And how does your customer feel when they interact with you?
Awesome. And then position is, once you've got that research done, yeah, then you work out where you sit in the market.
Yeah. So, I mean, position, like we just talked about earlier, you know, it's about market segmentation. So different segmentations obviously comes down to, you know, whether that's geographical, demographical, behavioral, different attitudes even with how people think. And also, you know, understand your customer experience process, because every customer experience is different, because you've got, if you're developing an app, for example, so you've got two sets of audiences, because ones are the ones that are users. So these people are not tend to be the ones who might pay for your product, but they are the one navigating across your product. So the experience will be completely a bit different to your customers, because once they become your customers, then what is the other experience that you're offering them that is, you know, more better than what being a user is? So you need to obviously understand a bit about that in order to position your brand better.
Perfect. And then we have Express, which is what we're, the old school branding we think of, the logo, the colors.
Yes, yes. And this is when the designers comes in and start to, you know, generate some interesting logo marks or logo types. And then also you might have a copywriter like yourself actually coming up with brand names. And usually I find marketing people do tend to do that very well. They tend to know the names and the different ways of making a name quite well. And the designers obviously follow on with the look and feels. So any visual elements or colors or font or styles or tone of voice with copywriting. And then the brand style guide. So the style guide is like your Bible to your brand. And you must have a style guide if you are a brand, because that will help you to have that consistent voice and communication across both print and digital. And yeah, and that brings through to your brand promise.
Yeah. And like, so I think so many people, like I think myself when I'm starting out, I jump straight to that Express, just straight to, yes, the logo, the colors and everything like that, without doing that groundwork of the two previous steps. So I thought it was just really good to really map that out so everyone could just see how that all flowed. So then you build the awareness, which is all the marketing.
That's right. So it's, again, we're talking about within and outside. So you must have your employees to be trained to understand your brand so they can deliver the messages, whether amongst themselves or to their potential connections outside of the organization. You just have that consistent company culture, basically. So whether that could be your T-shirts, company attire, you know, some startups have specific T-shirts that they wear, you know, they've got their logos on there, and then obviously individual values that goes in there as well. And on the outside, you've got your promotion material. So you've got your prints, your digital media channels, your social media, your packaging, or even installations or spaces or advertising, heaps more. Anything including the marketing that's about the outside, that's the outside. And one thing that's quite important, which I forgot to mention, is actually your intellectual property. That's actually really critical.
That is, yeah.
So your intellectual property laws in Australia, as people know, you make sure to register your trademark if you have a logo already designed and you're ready to go. If you've got a slogan or a jingle, make sure to trademark that as well. I mean, a good example, McDonald's, right? I'm loving it. You know, so nobody else is allowed to use "I'm loving it" with McDonald's, but that's also like a little slogan that they have, which they've also trademarked.
Yeah. Awesome. And then finally, measurement, which, as we were saying, the SEO, the surveys, just see how you're going, and then reflect on everything and potentially go back to the beginning if you need to.
Yeah, that's right. So just always remember when you're measuring it, your brand is equity. So a lot of people tend to think, you know, brand may be just a one-off investment or so, but it is your equity, and a great equity, such as, you know, when we chat about your in-laws with it, like Audi, like compared to a Mazda, like, you know, that is the brand equity itself. The brand becomes a price, a good price tag.
Yes. Well, look, I heard yesterday of someone who paid $1,000 an hour for a copywriter, and I charge a lot less than that. You know, it's still, I call myself probably a middle ground. I probably should, you know, charge a bit more, to be honest. But it's like, wow. So, I should start charging $1,000 an hour if someone's doing it and they're being paid it. It just, just how you align yourself. And I guess that's why I'm planning to, I do want to redo my website, because I don't feel like it's given that right experience of how I want to be perceived and everything like that. So that's just one little aspect. And of course, my social media, I'm trying to up that as well, because it's all about the experience, the perception, and the value.
That's right.
So now that we've really mapped out those five steps, I believe you have a couple of examples of how you've applied this strategy to some health and wellness businesses. Can you please share a little bit about that?
Of course. I mean, I can't show any images on the podcast, but if people do tend to want to give it a Google, you know, feel free to. So one of the brands which I worked with in the past was Chinese Health Institute. So they're a holistic Chinese, which is what we call traditional Chinese medicine, holistic service provider, obviously a doctor, that's based in Liverpool, so within the West. And the way that I worked with the entrepreneur there, which is Dr. Jimmy Lee, is we looked at the brand of what he wanted. So I think his core values are very important to him, and the way that he wants to portray himself or the brand. So we were chatting one time and just sort of having a chat about the history of Chinese medicine. So he was talking a bit about how Chinese medicine was come through herbal, acupuncture, you know, all these interesting aspects like the meridians and how the qi works. So it's really interesting. And through that, I went and had a look at the history of it, and I deep dived and found an apricot forest story, which goes quite well with how he's perceiving his actual clinic. So I said, maybe we should do something that relates to the apricot tree or the forest and you as an individual in the process of designing your logo. So I mean, he was born in the year of the rabbit. So in Chinese understanding, your zodiac is quite defined, you know, your life path even sometimes. So I said, maybe let's include a rabbit within your logo type, a logo mark, and then let's include a branch of an apricot forest tree. So that kind of, it has this really interesting narrative. It's like the rabbit is him and he's sitting under this apricot forest
tree. Oh, I love that. It tingles. Yeah. That's really so sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. So that really draws in the attention of people, and people are like, oh, what exactly is this logo about? It is about him as an individual, but also it's about the story of the apricot forest where an ancient Chinese medicine practitioner resided. And every time that a patient that comes through and cannot pay the fees, he actually just say, you know, don't worry about it. Give me a seed of an apricot and I'll plant it and it becomes a tree. Yeah, so that was a storyline. And I worked with him in a very holistic way as well, I think, a very calming way to define his brand. And then positioning the brand, because the people that knows about him obviously constantly visit him and they're the patients. So the marker was within Liverpool. He's been there for a long time as a TCM doctor. So all the patients know about him and they visit him quite often. And that really didn't need to be positioned too far because he already had that really good position within the actual area. So by expressing that, I obviously showed the logos, the persona, the look and feel of it. You know, we looked at color palettes. We went with the yin yang palette, which is black and white, because that makes sense with TCM. And also, you know, a little bit of a luxury feel. I would put a bit of gold in there just to get a nice look and feel to it. And then building awareness, we created quite a lot of promotion materials that goes with it. So there is flyers, signage, business cards. The clinic itself is quite nicely designed as well by him. So, and in order to measure, well, he's doing quite successfully at the moment. A lot of patients. Yeah, which is good. And you know, you don't want people to get sick. But, it's great for his business. So, yeah. So that's one example. Yeah.
Brilliant. I love that. I love how you incorporate this story. You know, I had a recent episode with Rashida Taibali about storytelling and the power of telling that story and incorporate that into your branding. And so that's right. Really nice with the forest and the rabbit. And it's a talking point as well. Like, as you said, people are like, oh, what is this? And then they look into it and they kind of get absorbed in that experience of the story. And that, yeah, I love that. Yeah. Very cool.
That's exactly what the wellness and holistic service is really about. And it's not just about driving the brand, getting clients. Sometimes it's about pulling yourself back and sort of being that kind of a good feeling, I guess, the feeling of calmness and spirituality and so on. So that's why I love working with wellness brands as well.
Very cool. And how long does it take from start to finish to do that?
I think we're still sort of in the process of constant reiterations, but the brand logo type didn't take that long, maybe a month or so. So it talks, you know, you have to talk to the client a bit more about who they are and get to know them a bit better and get to know their values as an individual and the prompts that they, you know, give to the clients. Yeah,
fantastic. And I think you had another example you want to talk about as well.
Yeah, another example is actually Aria Health. So Aria Health is a startup. It's actually a health startup. Also offering services, but they're geriatricians, so they take care of aged care, people within aged care, so the elderly within Melbourne, which is a really amazing time at the moment. They are super busy. They are super busy with the COVID in Victoria and everything that's happening there. So Aria Health approached me with a very, very defined, like they knew exactly what they wanted, but they obviously need to communicate in a visual form. So they've already pretty much defined their brand. They brought me all the core values, the promises, the drivers and everything.
Oh, brilliant. It's done for you. Sweet.
And then they positioned the brand as well. They brought me the brief as well. So I didn't need to do that extra bit of research. It was good. So I really just went straight into the expressing the brand, the third part. Looking at the name, especially I asked them, so why Aria Health? And they're like, I think that's a great name. You know, it starts with the letter A. It positions ourselves a bit earlier on in the
yellow pages.
Yeah, that's
right. It's not Aria. Yeah. I used to work in online business directory, and you come across the people with four A's in front of their name. Aardvark plumbing.
Yeah, and I'm like, and the geriatricians amazing. So Dr. Sankar, Amandaru, Dr. Christine Mandrawa, and Dr. Jesse Zanga. So three of them came up across to me, and I said, well, look, let's start to think about colors first. I think colors is quite important for you guys because, I mean, we are looking at attracting, you know, not just the elderly clients or patients, but also because we're looking at aged care, you know, we're looking at institutions that are, you know, about aging and so on, or even hospitals or medical centers. So we can't really have, you know, too bright of a color. We need to have a think about what are some of the colors that bring through the feeling of longevity, for example, or wisdom, or, you know, so we picked the colors of purple and green. And through that process, we also looked into the semantics that goes with it, so the symbols that might define the brand a bit well. So we went through a couple of things, you know, we went through the heart, you know, the typical heart, the hands, the shapes, but we actually ended up doing two circles. So there were two overlapping circles that they were on top of each other, overlapping, and then the color in between was the mid-range between the purple and the green. And the reason that we thought about this is it came through an understanding of infinity symbol, but also it came through the understanding of that kind of overlap of understanding of what, like whether that's life, an overlap of life, you know, between the age and the youth, and also looking at the way that people perceive the process of the elderly nature. Like people don't want it to be too stark or fearful, like the fear needs to go away. So round shapes always help in that sense, instead of really sharp shapes.
Yeah, and that's more nurturing. Yeah, like a hug's like that. So
yeah, exactly. So that sort of formed and into this kind of a shape. But obviously, you know, I paired up with the logo type of RE Health itself, which was really much completely tweaked. That means the whole type, the logo type is, you cannot find it anywhere else. You can't find it on font type or anything. So that's really good. And I made sure that it matches the feel of the kind of the symbol of the two circles. And obviously all the aspects of RE Health, the text, is very rounded, so that's another thing that needs to look consistent, and that sort of, you know, defined that kind of a brand identity. And through that, we went and did a lot of business cards, a lot of Christmas cards, in fact, because Christmas cards is always good to give to, whether that's their clients or their organizations or institutions. So, and it was really nice to receive one back from what I designed, them sending it back to me, and I was like, oh, look at that, the finished product. And I
could see, it feels good.
That's quite rewarding. And they're like, look at this, Lucy, you know, guess who designed it? You know, like, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, so it's really nice to have clients to show me the complete finished products. But, yeah.
Love it. Oh, that's so nice when you're appreciated as well for your efforts. Like, yes, a lot of hard work to get that right. Because that would have taken so many conversations, I bet, to get to that point of that logo. Like you said, like you just said, oh, yeah, we just decided on purple and green. But I bet it took a long time to decide on those colours and the circles.
Yeah,
and
we went through heaps of palettes of purples and greens. Like, and then we were just getting everybody to pick the best one. It was quite an interesting process. It was quite long. That project itself, I believe, took about 2 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had the brand, they had the position, they defined everything, but the expressing part took a long time. Yeah.
So a lot of that first part comes if anyone's got a business plan, they're the types of things you put in place.
Yes.
So if you've got that, then great, you've done half the work, and then you can start working on the brand rather than, like I said, jump into pretty colors.
Yeah, of course. And that's where the designers come in. Yeah, on number three. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so if someone like listening today wanted to start improving their brand and brand awareness right now, like today, what steps do you recommend for them?
Okay, well, first of all, you need to have a good understanding of who you are as a brand. Again, you know, that's step number one. You will need to understand how to utilize the brand on different mediums. So we talked a bit about, you know, social media, website design. That's quite important because the website itself is your experience. Sometimes people don't think, you know, that that's an experience, but it's actually a very major digital experience that they have of who you are as a brand first before they actually visit you within the, whether that's a clinic or the office. So having a good understanding of how to having return clients is also important. So that kind of measurement can also be measured through, I guess, whether that you have a MailChimp. So you have newsletters that you can send out to inform people of what is out, you know, what kind of offers you're offering. That's quite important. That allows you to have enough traffic of return customers. And yeah, and I think there's too many steps, Leanne. Like
I know. So well, just go back, listen to the beginning episode and try and step through those things.
Yeah, it really depends also on what you offer, what service are you offering, like what products or service you're offering, because the branding process itself can be defined in five steps. At the same time, these five steps could be completely different with every single different industry. So, yeah. So my suggestion is start to understand who you are first and what you do and then go into the expression of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, you know, you do a lot of the graphic stuff. Yeah. I'm more about the language of it, and you get – because, you know, there's little challenges and things, and some people put out their socials, you know, what are three words you would use to describe me? And that type of thing is really good in that research stage. So there's my little tip. So you could be brave and just say, well, what's one word or one sentence you would use to describe me? And yeah. You kind of collect that from other people because, you know, if you're you don't know how other people see you. You imagine all the time and you tell yourself stories of how other people see you, but you know, get that or you know, obviously as your business if you are a company, not just a sole trader, and then you kind of collate that and go, all right, and you think about all those words represent and the colors and the emotions, the experience, and that's how you can kind of start working towards your brand. So like so for me, like I've been doing a bit of this myself and going, all right, what do I actually represent? What does my business represent? And that's why I think it's time to redo my website now that I'm getting this clarity with, because I've been through a lot of changes in the last 6 months. And I do have I mentioned in the episode the other day about this year turning, you know, lemons into lemonade. Yeah. You know, so I've been through this journey, and so I'm basically in this rebranding a little bit. From a personal branding side of view, in a point of view, the turquoise and teals and aquas, like everyone knows me for these colors, like my nails today are my glasses, my branded pens, I'm known for those colors because they light me up, and that's why I've done that maybe on just talking about personal branding, maybe about a year or 18 months ago, I started doing that, making sure I always wore something in my colors so people would then subconsciously associate me with the turquoise and the aquas, and, you know, and it's working, I think. So that's just me, like, and obviously my personality. I'm brave enough just to be that quirky, you know, quirky yet professional person who knows about marketing and copywriting, and I think I'm funny, but maybe it's just me. So that's you know, like building up my little personal branding, it's been a journey in itself too,
for sure.
It's all a journey. All right, so thank you so much for all those tips. I think that's really great. I'm going to put that in those five steps in the show notes as well, and the links to those website, those clients, just so people can have a look. And so I always ask my guests this: how do you manage your health and wellness, Lucy?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Okay, so I think I started off being, you know, health aware, wellness aware through meditation. So that's one of the things that I do. But at the same time, you know, having that really passive kind of meditative state, you also need to pair it up with something that's a bit more active. So I do a lot of running. So running is definitely one of the key things that I start off my day with, maybe like about 30 minutes of running. And then I will do a little bit of meditation at nighttime just before bed. So throughout, maybe on a weekend or so, I also conduct brush painting classes at Northbridge. So that's something else that I do as a as a practicing artist as well. So oriental brush painting has always been something that allows people to calm their nerves, you know, gain their spiritual sense and start to feel as if they're the one, they're one with the universe. It's actually also really fun. So it's great to teach not just the adults but also the kids about the brush painting aspect. But yeah, and also horse riding. I've been recently picking up horse riding, so that's been quite entertaining.
Awesome. Oh, that's so cool. So, I mean, a lot of people say, you know, I come in, oh, meditation and running or whatever. Yeah, yeah, the painting and the horse riding. Different. I don't think I've ridden a horse since I was a kid. That's where do you go for your horse riding?
Oh, Hawkesbury. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to get into it. I'd love to, yeah, take my girls for a horse ride.
Yeah,
sure, they'd love that. And how can people connect with you?
Yes, so and anyone and everyone, most feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. So I've got my page, so that's LPL Wang, I believe that's a hashtag. And then email is lucy@brainconsulting.group. So that's my most recent email, and people can reach me there as well to talk about anything branding related or anything, in fact. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, that's so cool. Thank you so much for your tips today. I hope that gives everyone a little bit of clarity. I think it's just the mind-blowing thing for me is the amount of research that goes behind the branding. Yes. Like, I just, it's not like, oh, I like that color, pluck, that color will do. like, well, just to tell you my journey, like with my logo, my dad actually designed it when I was starting my business.
Yes.
And, you know, I was calling it Right Time Marketing because, you know, I write and I love a good pun. So Right Time was like, and so he created the logo. If anyone wants to see my logo, you can go to my website. It looks like a clock with a tick. Yeah. And he did a whole bunch of sketches and that was the one I was really drawn to. And and then I ended up sharing it on a Facebook group going, hey, what do you think of these logos? And someone sent me a private message going, I don't usually do this, but I was so inspired by those drawings. I've actually digitalized them and here it is. And I'm like, sweet. And it was really cool. And that's how my logo, that's my little logo journey. So it's got that, you know, because my dad designed it. So that's, you know, feels close and it's got that tick of feeling yes. And I mean, look, one person once told me it was very old school and maybe it is, but
I like it. Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. You. I really enjoyed our chat. And yes, so I'll put in the show notes all those notes and your contacts so people can reach out to you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And thank you to you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and a review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. And if you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton. Let me know you heard my podcast and that's why you're connecting. And if you want to learn more about generating leads or outsourcing your copywriting to me, head to my website, righttimemarketing.com.au, and book in a free 30-minute discovery call. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.